Okay, let's go. We have a lot to do on both sides. The Gemara says, on the Chafav of an Aleph, Cholim Shamsham Termina Sukkah, Tana Rabbanon, Cholisha Amru, Lo Cholisha Ishu Sakana, Elfila Cholisha Imbo Sakana. Right, so this is clearly Pashas, this is not a Torah of Kolotar Kula of Pikuach Nefesh. Right, this is a tour of a special tour of Sukkah. Because we see a filuchos be'inam filuchos berosho, even if just has his eyes hurt or his head hurts, even if he's not a mamish chole, he's still potter because of teishu ke'in taduru. Amar shemun liya pamachas kashi be'inam bikisare, vihitur biyosu berebi, lishan anim sham shekotsu Sukkah. Right, okay, one time my eyes hurt in Kesaria, and the great Rabbi Yossi let me and my butlers, me and my servants, sleep outside the sukkah. Rav Shaila Racha Bardula Minga Bikilsim Sukkah Mishum Biki. Rav let Racha Bardula sleep in a canopy bed in the sukkah because of the mosquitoes or whatever kind of bugs they had then. He was a mitzdayer. And therefore he let him sleep outside the sukkah because the canopy bed in the sukkah counts as outside the sukkah. Okay, Tosos points out here, there's a sugya in the first parak about when a canopy bed counts as being in the sukkah, when it counts as being outside of the sukkah. That's not our topic now.
What was the whole point of sleeping in the sukkah? why didn't he just stay in his house? Obviously, it's not like he had it outside.
No, right. So the pashup shot is Enochanam. He could have been to his house, but it was just more convenient to be in the sukkah in a canopy bed. Like, for example, maybe he already brought his bed out to the sukkah, and then one night the bugs came, so instead of schlepping his bed back in, he just put a canopy. You know, that's my assumption. You could. I mean, you know, but okay, that would be a. That's not how Tosfos assumes, and okay, it could be. But then you have to assume that even the Amoraim were like hedging their bets and didn't have a clear psak, or were being choshish for a psak they didn't hold like, which is not so poshut. Rav Ashurli Racha Bar Adal Migna Barim Talatu Mishom Sircha the Gargishta. He let him sleep out of the sukkah because of the bad smell of Gargishta. There are different shots on exactly what Gargishta is. Rashi says it was the flooring material that had a bad smell. Rav Latami Dama Rav Mitzayir Potter Min HaSukkah. And that's Rav Ashita that Mitzayir is Potter Min HaSukkah. Ah, the Kasha from the Mishnah. Anetan Cholim Sham Shem Tur Min HaSukkah Cholim In Mitzayir Lo. It's a good deal from the Mishnah. Only a Cholim, not a Mitzayir. The answer is no. No, it is a good deed from the Mishnah, but it's not about the guy himself. Rather, it's about the servants, the Mishamshim. The Chola is Potter and his Mishamshim. The Mitzdar is Potter, but his Mishamshim are Chayev. So we just. There's a machlokus among the Mefarshim. Why is there a difference between the Mishamshim of the Chola and the Mishamshim of the Mitzdar? Right? Either way, you are a servant of someone who's sleeping in the house. So what difference does it make why that guy's sleeping in the house? Either way, either if you need to serve someone in the house, you're Potter, or if you need to serve someone in the house, you're still Chayev. But what difference does it make why the Tachlis, Uvda, your boss is sleeping in the house. So what difference does it make why he's sleeping in the house? So there are three opinions about this in the Mefarshim. What does the Tosfos Rosh say? Exactly. The question is not whether your boss is sleeping in the house, but whether he needs you when he's sleeping in the house. A chole needs his mishamshin in order to sleep. I don't mean in order to fall asleep. I mean in order to be healthy when he's sleeping, right? A mitzar doesn't really need his mishamshin when he's sleeping. No, it might be nice, it might be cute, etc., but there's no need when I'm sleeping. Just because I had a bad smell before I went to sleep, or bugs bothered me before I went to sleep, doesn't mean I can't sleep on my own. But a chole taka needs help, he needs supervision, etc. So that's what he says. He says very pashut, the misham shechole are needed in the house, and therefore teishu came to duru. Just like you'd leave your house if you were needed. Elsewhere. You could leave your sukkah if you need it elsewhere. But the Mishamshim and Star aren't needed in the house. Mishamshim and Star are not. Okay. The Shari Tshuva quotes this cute shot.
They came to do with their boss who they're taking care of. Right. It's not, they could live outside, okay.
Right. But
it's not direct.
Yeah, but you could say, look, If the guy was sick, he would leave his house and take his mishapshim with him. Right. So here also, if he was sick, he'd leave his house and take his mishapshim with him. The guy was in tzar, he'd leave his house and not take his mishapshim with
him. He can certainly leave him.
Right. So they can, I think what you have to say is that it's an interesting question that either do you say it's his teishu kein tzedur that he can take them with, or it's their teishu kein tzedur. Just like I would leave my house if my boss needed me elsewhere, I could leave my sukkah if my boss needs me elsewhere. That's the pashup shot. The Shlos Yaakov, quoting the Shari Tshuva, says something similar. Really quoting the Shlos Yaakov. He says, the Misham Shechole are mitzarim. Meaning, if they are not with him. The Misham Shechole, they're part of the sukkah al mitzarim. Because if they're in the sukkah, they're so worried about the chole that they can't eat or sleep, that it keeps them up at night. Therefore, they're mitzta'er, they have to leave the sukkah. They're shamshe mitzta'er, right? If I'm a shamshe chole, if I'm not with the chole, I'm worried about him. They assume these are good mishamshe. But if I'm a shamshe mitzta'er, if I'm a shamshe guy who had a bad smell, then who didn't like the smell, then if I'm not with him, I'm not worried. Why should I worry? He's perfectly capable of handling himself. Okay, these are sort of somewhat similar. The Lavush takes an entirely different approach. Says the Lavush that Misham Sheikhole are Oskin Mitzvah. Rochanan adds, Oskin Mitzvah, why it's a mitzvah to heal people. Even though they're not doctors, they're just, not even nurses, they're orderlies. I don't know what we call the people in the hospital to help you. They're helping a sick person. That's a mitzvah. And therefore, the oskim a mitzvah, pturim min a mitzvah, as opposed to mishamshi mitzvah. There's no special mitzvah to be mishamish someone. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the mitzvah. He just had bugs, so he went inside. Now he's there's no special mitzvah. I mean, it's nice to be helpful. That's your job. But that's not called oskim a mitzvah. And therefore, their potter is oskim a mitzvah.
Isn't it ultimately the same? So they need it in the house. So why are they butter? Because I'll say
I think it was Teshu Kein Tzeduru. Yeah, because he says the mitzvah doesn't need his mishamshin. But if it was because of Osu Mitzvah.
No, there was no mitzvah to take care of the
mitzvah. Because he doesn't need them.
Yeah.
Okay, but I hear the tie up. I would think that the principle is different. Okay. Here it's Teshu Kein Tzeduru, and here it is. Osek b'mitzvah, and the nafkamina would be obvious once I put it this way, and this is what Rav Chana discussed, the one in brackets. Tshuva Gaonim says, we learned from our Gemara that Misham Sheikhol are potter from tefillah. Okay, that makes sense, according to Derech Vilvush. Lachora, these Gaonim hold like the Lavush. And then the nafkamina is, Peturim min hatfilah. And that is the Shuvas Gaonim. Right? If it was Teshu Kein Tzeduru, then it would have nothing to do with other mitzvos. But if we call it Osek B'mitzvah, then, now it's not Pashut to call it Osek B'mitzvah. Again, they're not doctors. They're just butlers. They're just servants. But if you call it Osek B'mitzvah, then they'd be part of Tefillah also. If it was only Teshu Kein Tzeduru, maybe it's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be a doctor. It's not a mitzvah to be Mishamish, the guy. So maybe they'd be chayim in tefillah, and that's what Rav Chanan hints in that piece. That really, if you don't apply mitzvah here, then they're chayav in all mitzvahs, the only part from a subject, because we have a special kulotation means a duru. But if it's closing the mitzvah, they're part from everything. Okay, that's the last line of the Gemara. The more interesting issue in this Gemara, the very deep issue discussed in this Gemara, is based on the diuk of some Rishonim from the two examples of mitzar. What are the two examples? One guy had the bugs, and one fellow had the smell. And what was the heter of both of them? They were allowed to
sleep outside,
quote unquote, outside the sukkah, conceptually outside the sukkah, right? So, is this davka, or is this lav davka? Meaning, is this only applied to sleeping, or does it apply to eating also? I think we would all have said, if you didn't have the Makoros, I think we would all have said lav davka. That was just the example.
And that to say, I think, that the criteria for mitzvah are different
Obviously, you have to be practical. What bothers you for one thing doesn't necessarily bother you for another thing. But fundamentally, so here we have Mitzvahs Pater Ben Asoda. The examples are Shina. So we would have said Lav Davka, right? And who paskins Lav Davka? Your Pater Ben Achilo also? That was on the Makor sheet? The Rush, right? The Rush says the Rush, I know I'm starting the other order, says the Rush and the post-game, rove post-game assume that Lav Davka. You're also Pater Min Ha'achiba. So why do you want to use an example of sleeping? Sleeping is more chomer. How do we know sleeping is more chomer? The bottom of the omelet. You're not even allowed to sleep right outside the sukkah. So if you're a potter from Shana, call Shekane, you're a potter from Achila. Okay, Aaron might answer differently, just it's more common to have a hekatins of mitzvah in Shana. Because you know, it's easier for your sleep to be disturbed. Right. Okay, so it could be it was just a common case, right? Lav Davka, maybe it was just a common case. After all, it was more common that, or maybe it says the Rush, kol shekein. It was better kol shekein. Shena is chomer, your potter, kol shekein achila. Okay, that's the shita, that's how we paskin. And that's the pashup shot.
But that's really not logical, because when you make it's sort of like a kamal chomer. If you're also this, you should be also that. But that's what you're doing in Deen. But here it's a Messias. There's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to eat and a mitzvah to sleep. Just because you can't do that one doesn't mean you can't do this one.
No, but if Tsar pottered you from Shana.
Yeah, but it's different Tsar. I mean.
Okay, but if the Tsar of Shana pottered you from Shana, then Kolshkin, the Tsar of Achila, should potter you from Achila. I'm not saying the same Tsar. For example, what if there's noise? You know, then obviously it wouldn't potter you from Achila. But the appropriate Tsar. Okay, that's the. That's not such an interesting Shita. That's a Pashm shot. That's how we pass it. However, there is a sheet that he quotes from Sefer HaMitzvos, right? What Sefer HaMitzvos mean? So it's actually, you don't know if it's the smag or the smack, but if you look it up, it's actually the smack. Now, it's not even the smack himself of Yaakov of Corvey. It's this smack, and Rabbeinu Peretz wrote Hagos on the smack. And then in later generations, they just copied it over as one book, and no one was mechalik. The Rishonim were never mechalik, being whether it's what the smack himself wrote, and what the Rebbeinu Peretz wrote when he added into the smack. So this is technically Hagos for Rebbeinu Peretz on a smack. He was a heeb as the daik in our Gemara. It's not such a strong deal. Okay, I wouldn't have made it on my own. But, you know, Hagos Rebbeinu Peretz on the smack says, nope, davka mishena potter v'lo me'achila. Okay. And the Rush says, this doesn't make sense to me. Says the Rush, if you're put, after all, the smell, come on. If the smell potters you from Shana, it should certainly potter you from Achila. It's very hard to eat with a bad smell. Sleeping with a bad smell you can do, but eating with a bad smell, you know, smell and taste are like very connected senses. If you have a bad smell, your food will taste bad. It'll be oy vavoy for you. Okay, the question is, number one, might any other Rishon agree with Rabbeinu Peretz? And number two, what is the Svara of Rabbeinu Peretz? So might any other Rishon agree with Rabbeinu Peretz?
Seeing the star is not putter at all?
From eating. Yeah?
Does that cancel door? You wouldn't?
I know! Give me a second. Okay. Might there be any other Rishon who agrees with Rabbeinu Peretz? Maybe the Rambam. Hard to tell. What does the Rambam say? Actually, I had some at the last minute, but of course I decided to add on. So, can I have a volunteer? The Rambam happens to be on the sheet as well. Even though, I didn't give the hand out this Rambam. But the Rambam says, in Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, he says, I didn't put this Rambam, sorry. But the Rambam on Mitztair, which is which was on the Makoros, so I didn't put on the sheet, but Halacha Bet, right? Sorry. The Raman Halacha Bet, what does he say? It's hard to tell for sure, but the Rambam in Perek Vav, which is Hilchos Shiva Sukkah Halacha Bet, says that Mitzar Potter in a Sukkah. Right, this Vuvim is our sugya, the Reach is our sugya, the Ruach is a sugya a little later on. And it's funny, who is a mitzvah? Someone who can't sleep because of these things. He doesn't mention Achila. Now, you could say Lav Davka, but, you know, in the Gemara, it's easier to say Lav Davka. Why? It was two stories. Stories don't have to be Davka. I mean, that's how the story happened, Beseder. Meaning, I'd say better than a common case. You know, why did our Gemara only say sleeping? Because that's how the story happened. Which, again, could be because it's a more common case. In the stories, it's easy to say La Davka. Story doesn't have to be Davka, right? Hashem never promised when he created the world that he would arrange history so that every story that happened that there was a halacha involved would teach the halacha in a davka way. Not the stories, whatever the story is. But the Rambam's not writing stories. The Rambam's not a story book. It's a halacha book. He could have been more clear. Zeh mitzdar, zeh she'en yachol lishan o lechol, or zeh she'en yachol leshev. So the Rambam's, it's hard to know for sure, but it's a very reasonable deal that he defines as zeh mitzdar, someone who can't sleep. It's striking. You know, you're going to have a hard time figuring out how to explain why the Rambam says, Davka, you can't sleep. So now already it's not just a Rebbe Peretz, but maybe it's a Rambam also. So they say, but as Zusha points out, it doesn't make any sense. Teishu Kein Daduru. If you're allowed to sleep outside the Sukkah, then you should be allowed to eat outside the Sukkah. What's the difference? So here we have two basic drachim to understand the difference. The first, I realized that I never gave out, I didn't put on the chorus the actual lashon of Rebbe Peretz. So what did Rebbe Peretz say? And his lashon is quoted in the Karban Sanon on the bottom of the Rush. He says, "Uma mitzayer kigon machmas seirachon chayotzeibo tap makor nira didafka lishan avalecho lo mida amaraba shor leleva the migni chotzesog mishem chigargushav lo karmel meichal." Okay, it's interesting. First, he makes the deal. I'm not sure why he was so convinced by this deal. You know, maybe that was just the case. Okay, he understands that no, that Rava permitted to sleep outside the sukkah, not just did the question happen to be at night. That the bugs were the smell was also during the day, and he only permitted him to sleep, and he didn't permit him to eat. Now you could say, okay, maybe that was just a sleeping sukkah. Maybe it only smelled at night, whatever. Okay, that's what. Yes, okay. And that's what he goes. V'shema, it's interesting. He has the diuk, and he's not sure of the svara. V'shema yishom d'achilei nirak l'fi sha'a. Maybe because eating is quick. Meaning, sleeping, you sleep for 8 hours, you know? You can't sleep all, you're tossing and turning all night. Mm-hmm. And because of the smell. But eating, how long does it take to eat? Well, it depends who you are. There are some of us are fast eaters. You can eat. I can eat any meal in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but not a young
without an effort.
Yeah, but not a young meal.
You know what? For 5 minutes, you hold your nose and you eat. What's the big deal? Like, you can do it. Be a gever. I can't tell you, like, be a gever, just eat with the smell. You'll say, like, it's impossible. Say, be a gever, hold your nose, and eat for 5 minutes. It's not a big deal. So, the Rush says back to him, the Rush says, no, Adrabah. The smell is worse when you're eating than when you're sleeping. You know, when you're sleeping, you're used to the smell, fall asleep. When you're eating, taka, it's disgusting to have bad smell. So here, they seem to be arguing. I mean, he gives a practical reason. Because eating is quick, so it's not such a big tzar. Right? And the Rush says, no, adrabe, eating is a bigger tzar of smell, because smell is connected to taste. And now, so what's the machlokas between the Rush and the Rabbeinu Peretz here?
It's Matthias. It's really weak machlokas.
Perhaps. That's what I want you to say at first. Right. So, good. What's the svara? So one svara is Rabbeinu Peretz himself. Says Rabbeinu Peretz himself, Achila is, what's his lashon? Ein rak l'fisha. Achila is quick. L'fisha, quick. Then the question is, what's the basis of machlokas with the Rosh? Because what's Rabbeinu Peretz saying? Rabbeinu Peretz says Rabbeinu Peretz, that smell is less bad for eating than sleeping. Right? Because eating is quick. And says the Rosh, no, Adrabba, smell is worse for eating. So it could be they're arguing in psychology. No, they're arguing in CS. I don't know. They each did their statistical psychological surveys. They each did their master's thesis for Firkow on psychology of eating and sleeping in the presence of noxious odors. And they come up with different results. It's possible. You know, I would prefer to have a different shot. You have a different shot.
It's like a Hutcher de Huya type machlokas. Meaning, the fact that it's only bad for a little while shouldn't matter if you just say it's like Hutcher.
Okay, correct. Maybe I'll just say it in different words, but that's exactly what I wanted to say. So it could be that the Yesod HaMachlokas, maybe, it's just in Metzius. Okay. Or maybe they're arguing about the nature of the Torah Mitzvah. And then it would work very well according to a diuk the Rav made in the Rambam. It's in the Rishima someplace. I forget exactly where. Maybe it's here even. Maybe they're arguing different. Mitzvah means someone who... someone who... Give me an example of Mitzvah with sleeping. Someone who... can't sleep in the sukkah because of the smell. Could you have had a different way of formulating it? Someone who?
Will have bad sleep.
Who will have difficulty. Who will be unpleasant to sleep in the sukkah because of the smell. Does mitzvah mean it's unpleasant? Or does mitzvah mean it's impossible? Unpleasant or impossible? Right? It's interesting. The Rambam's Lashon, the Rav says, Einu yochol, you can't sleep. Now, even can't is a... What does it mean, I can't sleep? But if you think about it, sometimes you actually can't sleep. I don't mean can't impossible. I mean, it's not up to you, right? Now, I know I'm adding a little in here, but says the Rambam, it's not up to you to decide whether or not you can fall asleep. Now, sometimes it's not up to you to decide whether or not you can eat. You mamish can't, right? But often, for eating, it's more volitional. You can handle it. Hold your nose for a few minutes. Maybe in some cases you just can't handle it. But in some cases you can handle it, just unpleasant. Well, by sleeping, sometimes unpleasant, sometimes might be impossible. Maybe you could say they're arguing in din. Rabbeinu Peretz says, mitzta'er equals you actually can't sleep. While the Rush says that mitzdayer equals it is unpleasant to sleep. Is it can't or is it unpleasant? If it's unpleasant, says the Rush, it's more unpleasant to eat with a bad smell than to sleep with a bad smell. But if it's can't, says Rabbeinu Peretz, you can eat. There might be other circumstances where you can't, mamish can't bring yourself to eat. But here, just eat for a few minutes, get over it. But you can't sleep because you're not going to fall asleep. So maybe, and this would be... an attractiveness of this pshat is, right, the diuk in the Rambam, ain't no yochel, you can't. Then it makes perfect sense. What do you mean can't? There's no such thing as can't eat. Or I'd say better, it's very rare that you can't eat. It would take very unique circumstances for you to not be able to eat. You know, it would have to be a really bad smell. But in many cases... you can't sleep because it's hard to fall asleep. But you can eat, it's just unpleasant. And maybe here they're arguing about the gedder of mitzvah, so you could say that really the yesod is that mitzvah means can't. And if mitzvah means can't, then the diuk is a great diuk. You can't sleep. Yeah, it's a common case you can't sleep. But you can always... in 99% of cases, you can eat. You just won't like it. But you can eat. And this is a big chiddush. I'm not saying we paskin this. We paskin, if it's unpleasant, you're mitzar patur in a sukkah. But it could be the Rambam where your parents hold. If it's unpleasant, you're chayim in sukkah. What do you mean? Do a mitzvah. You're only patur from sukkah if you can't sleep. After all, you know what? Life is sometimes more pleasant, sometimes less pleasant. That's also part of Teishu Kein Taduru. Right? It's always pleasant in your house? Okay, if so, then Hashem should inscribe you that it should continue to be so. But what do you mean it's always pleasant in your house? Sometimes there are bad smells in your house, and sometimes there are annoying people in your house. Sometimes the kids are making noise in your house, and sometimes there's a lot of things in your house. And that's part of life. If you can't, that's a different story. But maybe part of life is that sometimes more pleasant, sometimes less pleasant. Okay, this is one way of explaining the Shita of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Peretz. It's based on the fact that it's not such a tzar for eating, which is either just their new Chiddush and Metzias, or better, because they view mitzar as whether you can or can't, not whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. Okay, that might go back and tie into the hakir we had, whether mitzar is a hafka or a tour, but it doesn't have to. That's one derech. And I think it's a good derech. However, there's another possible derech as well. The Sfas Emes, I think it's a possible derech. The Sfas Emes has a different derech. Says the Sfas Emes, and the Rugacher that I put in brackets, he takes the Rambam in a slightly different direction. I'm not saying he gives in our sugya the same hesber as the Tzafas Paneach. He takes it in a different direction. But he starts from the same yesod as the Sfas Emes. So if you look at the Tzafas Paneach, he takes it in his own direction, but he starts from the same yesod. Sfas Emes, I would write, Ke'ein Zeh, B'Tzafas Paneach. They say, he says no. It has nothing to do with worse or better. It has nothing to do with how tolerable sleep is and how tolerable eating is. He has a different shot. And here he comes up with a chop. This part of the chop is only in Sfas Emes. He says, what do you mean, mitzdar pater min asoka? After all, don't you have to... This is the question the Ron and everyone asks. What do you mean it's a bad smell? You're allowed to build a sukkah with a bad smell and then be pater? Not patom. Ridiculous, right? The chiyuv in Torah is to build a sukkah where you won't be mitzdayer, right? Anyone think, right? Great kula. Just build a sukkah with foul-smelling materials, and then you'll be able to eat in the house. No, that's ridiculous. Obviously, you have to build a sukkah. That's not mitzdayer. And to all the Rishonim, they all figure out, what's the case here? Of course he built a sukkah that wasn't mitzdayer. Just happened to work out that it only smelled because of the rain, or the bugs are obviously unpredictable. Or it only smelled unpredictably, or he didn't know that he would have this guest in the sukkah, and this guest was more sensitive to smell, or the Rid even said that he was not feeling well, and that's why the smell bothered him. Interesting. The Piskei Rid here, not the Tosfos, the Piskei Rid has this wild shita, that mitzdayer means what it means in the rest of Shas. What does it mean in the rest of Shas? Someone who doesn't feel well, but is not sick. Who's a little not feeling well. He says that's what mitzdayer means. They weren't touching the sukkah, the bugs, and the smell. They weren't feeling well. Because they weren't feeling well, they couldn't handle the bugs and the smell. Okay, that's a shita's yachid. But the point is that pashup shot is, of course, you have to build a sukkah for 7 days that you won't be mitzdar, that you can live in. Here, coincidentally, something unpredictable happened, whatever you want to call it, because a guest came and you didn't know the guest would be sensitive and you didn't know he would come, or because there was the wind made it smell and the rain made it smell, and, you know, you thought you could handle it and you couldn't, you know, you were feeling well and you could handle it and now you're not feeling well, whatever the case may be. It was an unpredictable. Says the Sfas Emes, and that's Pashut. I don't think anyone would say you can l'chachila build a sukkah of tzar. No. What if I build a sukkah that smells bad? I have to build another sukkah, right? It's Yud Bey's Tishrei. I built the sukkah by accident with foul-smelling materials. So I should build another sukkah, right? I think we would all agree to that. But, says the Sfas Emes, he takes it one step further. He says, hold on a second. Not Yud Bey's Tishrei. What if it's Yud Ches Tishrei? It's Chol HaMoed. And all of a sudden, my sukkah starts smelling. He says, you should have to build another sukkah. What do you mean? You're chayav to have a sukkah. What kind of excuse is this? He questions, throws a curveball, and questions the heter mitzdayer. Ma pidom heter mitzdayer, just build a better sukkah. So teinach if it rains. You can't build a better sukkah, right? We have many poskim say that you can't build too strong a roof on your sukkah, so every sukkah lets the rain in, so you can't. Let's say it's a hurricane, so it won't help to build another sukkah. Let's say it's a makas medina, there's a smell in your whole city. And then it won't help. But in cases like this, with the smell, you know, just build another sukkah. In cases with the bugs, just build another sukkah that won't have the bugs, if you assume that it's Metzias, right? Many of these tzars, why don't you have to build another sukkah where you won't be Metzias? So says the Sfas Emes, a big chiddush, he says, look, there are two levels, and here's the big chiddush, but I think this is a very choshev yesod. He says, there are two levels to the mitzvah of sukkah. One, you have to be koveya di rosso basukkah. Kol shevas yamim, osa adam, sukkaso keva, ubeso arai. You have to live in the sukkah. It's an interesting question. What does it mean to live someplace? Okay. I mean, you know, tax lawyers deal with this all the time, right? What does it mean to live someplace? So the chiddush of the Sfas Emes is, until we heard the Sfas Emes, we thought the mitzvah of sukkah is to do maisim of dira in a sukkah. A maisa achila and a maisa shena and a maisa tiyul and a maisa this and a maisa that. You know, says the Sfas Emes, no, there's another level to sukkah. You have to be koveya dirasa basukkah. You have to establish your dwelling in the sukkah. Establishing your dwelling is not just that you're doing an action of dwelling. It's your status. For example, even when you're in the outhouse, you're still dwelling in the sukkah because that's where you live this week. This is very medoyic. Interestingly, there's only one Gemara in all of Shas which uses the words teishu ke'inta duru. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the words teishu ke'inta duru only appear three times in Shas. One on our Amud. Okay, hope I'm right about that. Four times in Shas. Three of them are not paskin l'halacha. There's a Tana, we don't paskin like a Chav Zayin, and a Mor, we don't paskin like a Chav Vav, a Havamin, we don't paskin like an Erchin. There's only one teishu ke'inta duru in all of Shas, which is paskin l'halacha. Which is Chav Chesed with Beis, Tana Rabbanan Teishu Kein Tadur, Mikan Amr, Kol Shivas Yom, Osa Adam Sukkaso Kevo, Beis or Arai, Ketzad Hayulu Kelim Noin Malon Lesukkah, Matzos Nos Malon Lesukkah. Ochel Shosu, Mishtayel Besukkah, etc. It's interesting when they say, all 7 days you have to make your sukkah keva. How? Bring your nice furniture and bedding into the sukkah. And eat and drink and spend time there and learn there, etc. Like the emphasis on the bring your furniture in the sukkah, why does the Braisa first put your furniture? Isn't your furniture just a detail of how you eat and drink the mitayel? Like you should eat and drink and sleep and hang out. And the detail of how to do that is to do it nicely, you know, with nice furniture. Why is the furniture first? So it could be the furniture's first because it's not just the masa that you do. It's the kfiyas, it's the chalos dira. The chalos dira is where you live. You know what? Where you live is where your nice furniture is, right? Everyone knows where do you live. Right? If you have two apartments, where do you live? Guy has two apartments, where does he live? You know what I would do? I would look at which apartment had the nice furniture. The apartment with the nice furniture is where he lives. The apartment with the cheap furniture is his second home. It's his vacation apartment. It's not where he lives. So, says the Sfas Emes, the inyan of kviyas dira in a sukkah. And of course, within kviyas dira, there are details what actions you have to do, what actions you don't. So, and that is... could be Meduyik in the Rambam as well. If you look at the Rambam on this sheet in the middle, says the Rambam says two different things. And we'll come back to it in a moment. Halacha hein halacha vav. Ketzad he mitzvah yeshiva v'sukkah. She ochal v'shose v'dar v'sukkah kol shivas yomim bein b'yom bein b'layla k'derech shudar v'vesev shayim osa shana. Very reasonable, right? Kol shivas yom osa v'vesev arayi sukkah so keva. She ne'mar ketzad kelim anoyim. It talks about your furniture. Vav, Oakland shows to be shame of a sukkah called Shiva Baby Yomar Lila. You eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah all 7 days. Isn't this redundant? Why does the rabbi have to tell us twice what he's doing in the sukkah? So it could be, and we'll see what the rugged chose to do, but it could be that what he's saying is there's two levels. There's number one, what's the mitzvah of sukkah? Right? That you should live there. You should establish it as your living quarters. Your dwelling should be in the sukkah. Number two, what are the specific rules governing the actions you have to do to be consistent? Well, eating, drinking, and sleeping. And eating and drinking, you can do keva only inside and arai outside. And sleeping, whether keva or arai, you have to do inside. So first is the dwelling in the sukkah, establishing the halos dira in the sukkah. And second is the masim that you do to be consistent.
That would mean that if someone spends every meal and sleeps every night in a sukkah, every night in a different sukkah, every meal in a different sukkah, he goes against the first Rambam.
So there is a Tana like that, right? Tana Rabbi Eliezer holds that you have to do in the same sukkah. Why do you have to do in the same sukkah? That makes a lot of sense. Can you do kviyas dira in a sukkah? Kviyas, after all, it's not kviyas dira if you have two meals a day and one sleep, 21 different sukkahs. So we would say, not that way. We darshan in the pasuk that You could be koveya dira in a group of sukkahs as well, as long as it's in the class of sukkot, whether it's one or many, that's good enough. Okay, that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. We maybe we need to doctrine for a pasuk because we wouldn't have known on our own.
You don't even have to have a sukkah. You don't have to have one sukkah. You have to live in a sukkah.
Right, right. You don't have to own it. Correct. Now says the Sfas Emes. Now here's the Sfas Emes ischa. Says the Sfas Emes. You know what? If you couldn't, I think, okay, you'll tell me if you read him this way or not. If you had sa'ar eating and sleeping, then it would, how do you say mafkia in English? Mafkia together. It would nullify. What? It would nullify, I'll go with nullify even though it's not exact, it would nullify the kvius dira basukkah. Meaning, if you couldn't do anything in the sukkah, then you wouldn't be living in a sukkah. And if you're not living in a sukkah, you have to build a sukkah. And you would be chayav to build a new sukkah. Then you wouldn't have a sukkah you're living in. Therefore, you're not potter. You're not potter for eating in the sukkah. If your mamish don't do anything in the sukkah, then you don't have dira of a sukkah and you have to build a new sukkah. But if you can eat, just not sleep, if you can eat in the sukkah, you just can't sleep in the sukkah, then you are a koveya diroso basukkah. After all, you're still eating in the sukkah, you're a komedios in the sukkah, and you have a heter to leave the sukkah for sleeping, and you have a ptur from sleeping. Meaning, if you're pater from sleeping, it's not mafkia, you're living in the sukkah. And therefore, that's a valid pater. You're koveya diroso basukkah, and you are pater me shena. That's the chap of the Sfas Emes. The chap of the Sfas Emes is that if you can't eat in the sukkah, then you're no longer living in a sukkah, so you have to build yourself a new sukkah. If you can't sleep, you can eat, you just can't sleep, then you're living in the sukkah. You're living in the sukkah. You just have a pressed sleep problem. Okay, but you're still living in the sukkah. That's where you eat. You have a sleep problem. Give me half a second. Go ahead. That's the right question. Just give me half a second. Then you have a ptur from sleeping. Keshu king taduru. What does it say? Just like you would leave your house to sleep, you can leave your sukkah to sleep, as long as your sukkah is your makom dira. But if you leave your sukkah for everything, then it's not a makom dira anymore. That is based on the yisod. Chazki, I need your help. Sorry. That is based on the yisod that what's the yisod of the Sfas Emes? And then we'll answer Josh's question in 2 minutes. The yisod of the Sfas Emes is that the mitzvah of sukkah is not only a maisa achila shtia shena tiol shinon etc. All the things mentioned up above. That's on the base. The mitzvah of sukkah is a chalos kvias dira. There's an abstract mitzvah of living there over and above what you do and what you don't do. Now, let's just get this yisod. What's the yisod of the Sfas Emes and the Rugged Chavar? Well, I'll mention the Rugged Chavar in a moment.
Even though, again, he doesn't get the same angle from our sugya, but it's a similar direction. The yisod is that the mitzvah is not just or even mainly. The mitzvah is not just or not even mainly the mindset of achila, shena, vechuli in sukkah, but the chalos of Vias di Russo Basukkah. The Rugged Chavar has a fascinating rider for this. Anyone know Nidarim, what strange verb they use about sukkah? Kona malai sukkah? She'ini osa. Not to make a sukkah. So everyone asks, Why did they discuss, like, that's a devatel mitzvah, right? A shvuah against the mitzvahs that I won't make a sukkah. A neder against a mitzvah that the sukkah I won't make. It says, what do you make a sukkah? You don't have to build the sukkah. You have to live in the sukkah. Right? So what do most people say? Most people say that, oh, it's lav davka. The pasuk says, chachas sukkos tasa l'chashan yuz osa. Says the rugged Trevor, no, the mitzvah of living in the sukkah is to be osa the sukkah. What does that mean? I build it on Yud Aleph Tishrei when it's not sukkahs. No, he says, Osa doesn't mean build. Osa means to make it my dwelling place, to make it my residence. He says, the mitzvah is not the mice of eating there. The mitzvah is that through eating there, I make it my residence. And that's why it's called Asiya Sukkah in Maseches Nedarim. Okay, that's a diuk of the rug charm.
Just to give a contemporary example in terms of bringing furniture into. First of all, how many people do bring furniture? But a contemporary example.
That's not a kasha. Yeah. Who was in Rav Lichtenstein's sukkah? Anyone? What was the most remarkable thing about Rav Lichtenstein's sukkah? Okay, other than this is just classic, you know, Yerushalayim, that he, everyone in my sukkah is the same thing. Like there's an overhang roof of the house and then starts the sukkah. So it's like a big room that part of it is under an overhung roof and part of it is a sukkah, right? What's called a dofen akuma. So the problem is always that you have to be careful to sit under the schach, not under the roof. Okay, so I'm a regular guy. So I'm just tell my guests, be careful to sit under the schach. Rav Lichtenstein took electrical tape, red, shiny red electrical tape, and made a line across the floor so that everyone would be very clear to make sure that they were being guilty of the mitzvah, not chas v'shalom under the roof. Okay, but that was not the most remarkable thing. That's just Yerushalayim. The most remarkable thing about Rav Lichtenstein's sukkah is that all the walls had pictures on the walls. Now, not like your kid comes home from God, the picture, and you don't want it in the house, so you put it on the wall of the sukkah. And not sukkah decorations. We all have sukkah decorations. No, we have like real fancy framed expensive pictures on the wall of his sukkah. Obviously, you know, it doesn't work with canvas, but he didn't have canvas. And it really felt like it was a real house. Okay, so you should do that. Okay, whether everyone does or not is a fascinating question. You know, just to be fair to contemporary Jews, their furniture was less heavy and bulky in the time of Shas than it is now. You know, so it's much easier to bring your nice furniture into the sukkah because, you know, nowadays, like, bring your dining room table into the sukkah, your dining room table is, you know, the size of Rhode Island. So you bring a folding table and, you know, bring your couch into the sukkah. It's very, very heavy. So that's only with chus. But theoretically, at least, you know. So, and what are rayos for this yisod? What are some rayos for this yisod? Number one, the brisa on daf chof chesem and beis. It starts with kelim na'im and matzos na'os. It starts with your furniture, not what you do. Why should we start with your furniture? I always thought until today, your furniture was just a detail of doing things nicely. To have a good achila, you need achila on a nice table with a nice chair. To have a good shena, you need shena in a comfortable bed. But I wouldn't bring furniture first. Okay, if you want, you could say, well, because practically first you bring your furniture and then you sit on it. But if you want to medayik, you could say no. Maybe the yesod is that you're trying to make it a chalos dira, and I think the best raya for this is the Mishnah on daf mem ches. Amar Aleph. What does the Mishnah say in Dafim Ches Amar Aleph? The Mishnah says, on Oshana Rabbah, right? What if you finished lunch on Oshana Rabbah? You don't need your sukkah anymore. What does the Mishnah say? Oh, sorry. The Sultan does not want me to see that Mishnah, so he made sure that they wouldn't separate these pages. But we can outwit the Sultan. Right? Okay, a lot less effort than... sukkah shiva keitzad. Gomer milecho lo yater sukkah. So you can't take down the sukkah on Oshana Rabbah. I get shy about this that sometimes. Am I allowed to take down the sukkah? I really need to, etc., etc., etc. You know. No, you can't take down the sukkah on Oshana Rabbah. Not only that, avol mor gezakelim in a minchu l'malach dekol yoto achron shalchai. Not only can't I take down the sukkah on Oshana Rabbah afternoon. Ideally, I can't even take my furniture out of the sukkah. Except in a mincha l'malo, they were matar taking my furniture to the house in order to set the table for Shmini Atzeres because of Kavod Yontif. right? But if not for Kavod Yontif, it would be also to take the furniture out. I need the chuya to be matter taking my furniture out because of Kavod Yontif Achron. But you have to keep your sukkah with the furniture all of Shana Rabbah afternoon. Why do you have to keep your sukkah? Theoretically with the furniture, right? You need sukkah, and theoretically, furniture. On Hoshana Rabbah afternoon. Why do I need my sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah afternoon? So Rashi says, in case you're hungry and you need to eat. Right? Okay, could be, but what does the Ron say?
You need a sukkah all 7 days.
You need a sukkah all 7 days. It doesn't matter if you're going there or not. You need to have a sukkah all 7 days. So I think Pashtun, the Ron says, why? Because it's a mitzvah to have a sukkah all 7 days. But what if I'm not there? Says it doesn't matter if you're there. You need a sukkah all 7 days because you need kviyas dira the sukkah all 7 days. Even if you happen to be at work, even if you happen to be in Great Adventure, even if you happen to be wherever you are, if you have a sukkah at home with a bed and a table and chair in it, then you're mekayim, the kiyum of kviyas dira of a sukkah. And you can't take it down because it's not just what you physically do, it's the chalos of your kviyas dira. Theoretically, if you wanted to stretch, you could say Rashi also meant that. And he meant, since you might eat, therefore, even if you're not going to eat, the fact that you might eat means that you still need a makom dira and your dira has to be there. But I admit that's a stretch. Pashtas is according to the Ron. But this is a great yesod, says the Ron. It's not just about me. It's about the existence of the sukkah. My Rebbe Yerushalayim once said, although this is a diuk. Says, why Masecha Sukkah do we start with defining the Chetz of Sukkah in the first parak and the second parak through Daf Chav Hey, and only afterwards Daf Chav Hey, for we have four block that tells you what you have to do in the Sukkah. So he says, because the Iker is to have the Chalup Sukkah. And then the details what you do in the Sukkah. But the Iker is just have a Chetz of Sukkah, that's your house. Okay, so that's supporting this Yesod.
Right.
So this Vart works much better according to Rabbi Eliezer. You have to have your own sukkah and stay in the same sukkah all 7 days. Then it's mamish like a house. How about the fact that you're allowed to borrow your friend's sukkah? So maybe the answer is just you can be koveya dira in your friend's sukkah. How about the fact you're allowed to switch sukkah so you can be koveya dira in two sukkahs?
Register.
Couldn't you also bring, I don't know if you want to bring a rye from that, when you finish eating your last meal on Hoshana Rabbah, there's a tefillah that I'm going out of the sukkah. What do you mean I'm going out of the sukkah? It's just a matter of eating. I didn't eat. I'm not eating anymore. But there's a concept of going out of the sukkah.
You do right before Adlakas Neiros.
Yeah, I do it right before Adlakas Neiros because of this rhyme. Okay, agreed. Now, Chaim and then Zush's question.
How could anyone disagree with this Fasenis? What would be the alternative?
The alternative would be that the Torah is mechayev you to build a proper sukkah before Yontif. And if it gets messed up during Yontif, then the Torah was not mechayev you to build a new one. Yes.
And that is a reasonable alternative?
That's a reasonable. You say, what's the alternative to Fasenis? Is it a pasha that if you were starting to build a new sukkah? The answer is no. Maybe the Torah is only mechayev you to build one sukkah for Yontif, one good sukkah. But it wasn't a chayav you to build a new sukkah every day. Right. Yeah, you could also just say practically, like sometimes, like we had earlier in the Levush, etc. Like some cases, it's too hard to build a new sukkah. Okay, fair. Now, Zusha asked a gevaldik question on the Sfas Emes, which the Sfas Emes did not explicitly say one way or the other. What if it would be the other way around? What does he say? If I can eat but not sleep, then I'm still kovei diras b'sukkah. What if I could sleep but not eat? That's a great question, no? That's an excellent question. What, lefiza, right? What if I can sleep but I am mitzta'er ba'achila? So what would this Fasema say? So I can't promise, But here's an even bigger yesod. This rugged shavur is a wild, wild yesod. I might have said, where am I up to? Sfas emes. By the way, I think this is a true yesod regardless of the sfas emes shot here. I think it's a real yesod. I mean, it's a rat regardless of the sfas emes. You could have said that that's okay, right? That's okay. Either Shena or Achila is enough to be Koveya di Rosso, right? That's what I could have said, right? Ah, so why is the Rabbi Medayek that way? Because just practically, it's more common that someone can eat but not sleep than they can sleep but not eat. But you'll say, I know that's not so Medayek. It sounds like there's a difference in sleeping and eating. So what does the Rugged Shomer say? Maybe. The Rugged Shomer says an additional yesod. This is the Rugged Shomer. He says a Gemara in Erevin. Ah, no one knows this Gemara in Erevin because of Hilchos Erevin, I'm sure. But everyone knows this Gemara in Erevin because of Hilchos Chanukah. Right? You knew where I was going there, Yonatan. Mm-hmm. Right? Where do the Bachrim light in... Where should the Bachrim light in Yeshiva? Chanukah. In the dorm rooms or in the dining room?
In the room.
Right, so it's Machlokes teen, Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Moshe. Okay. The svara for their dorm room is easy, because that's private. What's the svara for the dining room? Why light in the dining room? Isn't their space more the dorm? The dining room is very public. What's the svara to light? Anyone know? What's the mucker light in the dining room? That was Rav Aaron Cutler, right? The dining room?
I forget who says what.
Okay. The svara is, I'm a forced Gemara, Erev and Daf Pebes. Oh, it's on this course. Mokum Dira. Your Erev goes by Mokum Dira. Or technically, you're assuring other people that an Erev goes by Mokum Dira. Where you live. A person owns many houses. But for Erevin purposes, we only care where he lives. Question is, where does he live?
Wherever his passes.
So, Ravam, our second Mokker on the sheet, I gave out Mokum Pita, where you eat. Pot. Shmuel and Rakalina, where you sleep. Who do we pass like? Rav or Shmuel? Any Surim?
Rav.
And you could look it up in the Ravam Shulchan Aruch, meaning... It's Pasha. We Paskin, you live where you eat, not where you sleep. Now, you have to eat, you have to sleep. The question isn't practically whether you're going to eat or whether you're going to sleep. The question is, what defines your residence? What defines your main residence and what defines your secondary residence? We Paskin like, Rav, your residence is defined by eating. Says the Rugged Shomer, no. That'll be not okay. Only Achila defines Dira. Why? Mehechi Tesi, only Achila defines Dira? I am my only Svara. Would I have known whether you define where you live based on where you sleep or where you eat? I would have known on my own. But it's a Gemara in Erevin. We pass like Rav Makom Pita. That you live where you eat. It's a Mefurish Gemara. Says the Rugged Shomer now. Whoa. I'll have to find somewhere on the board. Says the Rugged Shomer, and therefore says the Rugged Shomer, a wild chiddush. The kiyum of kviyas di russo basuka, or what he uses, the lashon of asiyasuka for the Rugged Shomer, not building, but making it your dira, that's what he calls it. Asiyasuka, in his lashon. Again, that's not the pashup shot. It means building a sukkah, and why did the Dorm care about building a sukkah? It's just lavdaf galashim. Okay. Is based only on Achila. The details of what you do once you live in the sukkah include other ma'asim, such as Shena. Meaning Shena is a detail of what you do in the sukkah. But the key of living in the sukkah depends ach v'rak only on eating. Eating defines where you live. And therefore, he says, now here, I'm going back to this pasemis, he says, mitzdar means you live in the sukkah because you eat there. You just want an exemption for the mice of sleeping. You get an exemption for the mice of sleeping. But if you couldn't eat in the sukkah, then you wouldn't have a sukkah bechlal. Then you'd be without a sukkah bechlal. He doesn't then say you'd have to build a new one, but he might very well say, then you'd have to build a new one. So now, this is a big yesod. This is the bigger yesod. The yesod of the rugged shover is, let's just put the yesod.
Does anyone pass in that way? I'm just curious.
No, I'm sorry they don't. Although, you could still pass like the yesod. Or you could still agree with the yesod without applying it so much. Yesod of the tsofnas paneach is that the ikker is kvios dira, which equals achila. What are the rayos for this yesod? I have so many rayos from this yesod that I don't know where I'm going to put them. One, Erevin daf pei beis, right? Makom pita. Okay. Erevin pei beis makom pita, thank you. But two, the brais and chav chesem et beis. Turn to chav chesem et beis. Let's read the one brais of teishu came to duru that's la halacha again. The Tana Rabbanan, seven lines from the end of Daf Chav Ches. Teishu king Tadur, Mikan Amr, Kol Shivas Yom Ma'osa, Adar, Paso Keva, Obeis Arai, Ketzad Hayilu Kelim Non Malon Lesukah, Matzos Nos Malon Lesukah, Ocha Vashose, Matayil Lesukah, Mishanin Basukah. What's missing?
Sleep.
Sleep. Which is more chummer, sleeping or eating?
Sleep.
Sleeping. You can't even do Arai inside the Sukkah. How could sleeping be missing from the Braisa? If Teal and Sheena has everything there, how could sleeping be missing from the Braisa? Says the Rav Yechiel. Yes, sleeping is more chumra in terms of once you live in the sukkah, what you're allowed to do outside. But in terms of defining your living in the sukkah, sleeping is not chashiv. Hey, it's included in Teal. Maybe it's a kind of Teal. But only eating is what defines you. Kalim nam nagim atzos. No, only eating is what defines your living in the sukkah.
How's that a riot? You had tons of other stuff in there. Teal, achila, also shtia. I mean, so maybe shtia and teal should also be what's koveya yudia. How's that a riot? It's like a sniff, maybe, at most.
Okay, a sniff. Fine.
The rabba was more than
okay, thank you, Chesky. So this is a sniff, you know. The Brisa on Daf Chavches of a Beis omits Shena. The better one is what we mentioned earlier. The Rambam, let's look at the Rambam. Sukkah Perek Vav Halacha Hei Devav. Remember the Rambam said twice? Perek Hei Halacha Hei Ketzad Hi Yimitzvah Se Yeshiva B'Sukkah She Ochav V'Shosev Dar B'Sukkah Kol Shiva Se'yamim. To eat and drink and live in the Sukkah for 7 days. Halacha Vav, Ochlim Shoshim Vishen of the Sukkah called Shiv Ben Beyom Ben Laiva. This is what you have to do all 7 days. V'asur Lechol L'Suda Chutz, and this is what you're allowed to do, and this is what you're not. If Halacha Hey is the definition of having a Sukkah, and Halacha Vav is the details of what you're allowed to do, where and when, then it's Meduyak Lahafli, says the Rugged Chavar. Halacha Hey, what defines you as having a Sukkah? Achila V'Shtia V'Dar. Achila V'Shtia and Dar Dira. Achil and Shtia is the only actions that are defined Dira. And then the general idea of Dira. If you want to know, Mitzad Kviyas Diras B'Sukkah, only Achil and Shtia. He leaves out Shena from Halacha Hey. If you want to know the halachas and the details of what you do once you're there, look in Vav, Shena is Taka Mor Chomer. Shena is Mor Chomer once you live in a Sukkah. But what defines the Sukkah is the Achila. I mean, it's a crazy duke in the Rambam. Why in Hey does he leave out Shena? And you could say he's echoing the Brisa, but that just begs the question. That just shows he took it very literally. And he doesn't say Teal and Shein anything. So that's a very good diuk, right?
Does he address Shia?
What?
Does he address Shia, the Rav Shavar?
Because
the Chori can make a click here.
Okay. It could be that Shia also counts as Makom Pita. After all, wine is also Masvia.
Well, there's a difference between the Bechaseras versus Bechaseras.
Okay, well, fine. But we will, but not necessarily between wine and food, just between wine and bread. Okay, bread doesn't have to be dafka, we'll get to that. Anyway, so that's an amazing diuk, right? And halacha hey, what is yeshiva sukkah? Achil and shti and dira. You want to know the details? There are different rules for achil and shti and different rules for shena. But what defines the sukkah? Achil and shti. And, of course, this explains also, I'll make another diuk. Chav Zayinim and Aleph. What's the makhluk of Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim? Hopefully we know this even though we're not into it yet. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Arba Asri Sudos Chayvam Lechol Besoka Achtri Yom Achtri Palayim. Chav Zayinim and Aleph Kitzvah. He says you have to have 14. Teshuvah Kinder Dura is rigid. You have to have a rigid schedule of 14 meals. I'm saying no, you eat when you want. Now, I have a diuk. Yeah, you could say it's not a diuk. Why, if he says teaching and do is rigid and the Chacham say flexible, he says 14 meals, why doesn't he also say 7 nights sleep? Why does your Lazar say you have to have rigid meals but not rigid sleep? So Yonatan smiles. What he means by he smiles, give me a break because everyone sleeps at night anyway, so they didn't need to go into it. So I said it wasn't a mocher of diuk, right? But you could say it's not a diuk. You never know when to be diuk, when not. I'm not for the biggest medaikin. I mean, the Rambam halacha hein halacha vav is crying out. This, why did the Chacham and Lazar not discuss sleep? You could just say, because everyone sleeps at night, and they didn't have to discuss it. But if you want to be diuk, no. He says you must eat 14 meals or else you're not living in the sukkah. Sleep. Just don't sleep outside the sukkah. Who cares how much you sleep? Right? Because he says to define your dira, you need a rigid schedule of meals to define your dira. Ah, but since sleep doesn't define your dira, you don't need a rigid schedule of sleep. If you only want to sleep 5 out of 7 nights, that's good enough. So you can take the dira or not, but Rabbi Eliezer on the Mishnah, on Daf Chazayin and Aleph, when he says teishvig in Dedur means you have to rigidly follow a schedule to show where you live, he says only eating, not sleeping. And the best raya for the Rabbi Chavar is, I hope no one looked at the Makorah sheet more, because you shouldn't need the Makorah sheet for this. So I bring a raya from something that we all know for the Rabbi Chavar is your soul, that eating is what defines Dir Basukah and not sleeping. Sleeping is more chomer, but eating is more defining. Bracha, the biggest mystery for all the Rishonim. First of all, most Rishonim held that you make a bracha every time you go into the sukkah, etc. The biggest mystery in the Rishonim, certainly Rishonim Ashkenaz and later Rishonim Sfarad, had the minhag. You only make a bracha when you eat. First came the minhag, then came the hesper. It's not like someone that we have their book sat down and said, for this reason, you should only make a bracha when eating. Maybe someone sat down and said that before we had recorded books. But the Rishonim all said, menhag olam, we only make a bracha on eating, not sleeping. And not anything else. And we don't know why. Some achronim actually write, there is no reason why. Just stam a minhag. You know, and therefore you shouldn't take it too seriously. But, one second, says Tosfos. He says, well, you know, I'll tell you why you only make a bracha on eating and drinking. Because that's required. Everything else is not required. But then he gets stuck with, what about Shena? After all, why don't you make a bracha on sleeping? Who wants to give me a technical answer, Morty?
You don't know if you're
going to fall asleep. Tosfos has two answers. All the Bali Tosfos and all the Rushes everywhere have two answers. Look at Tosfos, the third Makarir. The Imtom Beimatan of Varchan Lishon Asukah. Yech Lomar, the Bracha Dachilus Varchan Leshe Potarto, Inamim Shum Shemelo Yishan, Ve Bracha Levatala Shir, Im Yad Lishan Kol Shashi Yirza. One answer, Tosfos is technical. You make a Bracha on anything important. Eating and sleeping is important, but eating you know you're going to do, and sleeping is always a Suffolk. Suffolk Brachos is a Chashas Bracha Levatala. The first answer in Tosfos is more interesting. The bracha of achila patters sleeping. Why would achila patter sleeping? So look at the formulation of the Rush of the fourth parak. Shena is more chomer. So why don't we say a bracha? The ochlan achila sarayichot zuk ve'ni shem shena sarayichot zuk. Hainu taima. First, it's technical. The shem lo yuchol lishem bracha levatala. Okay, you can always give a technical answer. Meaning, if you want, you could give that answer. It's perfectly good. For Rabbeinu Tam pirish. But what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Lufisha ikar hakeva shadav osa basuka hi achila. That's almost saying the Rebbe Chavar word for word. The Iker Keva is Achila. The Shartil, the Shenish, the Masukah, Tfein, Lagabi, Achila, Vipo, Tartan. Everything else is Tafil. The Iker Keva is Achila. The Iker Kvios is Achila. Now, he's not saying the whole Mahalach of the Rebbe Chavar, but he's awfully close, right? Bracha, according to Rabbeinu Tam, again, you could say a lot of other things. You could say, we do make a bracha on sleeping. Or you could say, we don't make a bracha on sleeping, but there's no good reason. Or you could say, we don't make a bracha on sleeping because technically it's a suffik bracha levatala. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, we make a bracha on eating, and that goes for everything because eating is the ikar keva. That's exactly what the Rabbi Chavar is saying. Eating is the ikar kiyum of kviyas basukah. Everything else is a detail. We make a bracha on the ikar, and then we patter the details. So that supports the yisod of the Rabbi Chavar.
But then what would you do if someone has a tiny column, kol moed, he's allowed to fast, so he's not going to eat, but he's going to sleep. Does he make it? Or that he should be making a bracha.
Right, so the post can say you should. What would Rabbeinu Tam say? You know, I'm not sure. You know, he might say, since yesterday you ate, that's good enough. You have to go like Vias Niras for 7 days. It's a good question. The post can, the Mishnah Berurah says you should say a bracha. But I'm not sure what Rabbeinu Tam would say. And the other day in Tosos, still say not to make a bracha on Shena, because you still might not fall asleep.
We learned that Machlokas was shown in with, or Achron rather, with you. He quoted to us a Chacham Tzvi. That there is a question if the sukkah is not usable for for Shena, can you then still use it for Achila? So from that machlokas between the Chacham Tzvin, I have over here the Re'eim, the Ramah.
Right.
It sounded, I came away with the
that Re'eim and Mordechai would not fit with the Tzachas
Panea. That whole discussion doesn't, they're
yes,
all
I agree.
The head.
They would not fit with the Rugged Chover. Because the Rugged Chover would say, even if you can't sleep there, as long as you can eat there, it's a Chetzashal Kviya Soka. Okay, you're right. So they wouldn't be like the Rugged Chover. Mutar Lehem.
Okay.
So now we've seen this very, very, you know, this deal from the Gemara, which seemed very weak. Yes?
Why is that necessarily true? Meaning,
if they had said, if you can't eat, you're not yotze sleeping, that would require for the Rugged Chover. When they say,
right,
if you can't sleep, you're not yotze eating.
Right.
Are you sure that they wouldn't say that?
No, their example happens to be that you can't sleep.
Okay.
That's their example. Yes, you know, so then it sounds like they're making them both equal. Which is fine. We have that possibility. It just wasn't the Rugged Chover. And what would you do with all these rayos? Okay, you would say Erevin is Erevin. That's not Sukkah. You would say the Brisa. Okay, yeah, for some reason left out Shena. You know, you can't be Medayik. You would say the Rambam. We're not necessarily the Rambam. Or maybe you have a different shot. Rabbi Eliezer. Hey, we're not Rabbi Eliezer. Or maybe, like Yonatan, he was also Lav Davka. And the Bracha, you would have one of the other Shitas. Not the end of the world. Okay, so just to review, we started off with this Diuk that was not so Machrach, I admit. We don't paskin this diuk. That only Torah from Shena, not from Achila. Why? One direction was in terms of strength. I mean, Peretz says there's more tzar of Shena, but Achila is quick. And we said, so why are they arguing about just psychology or no? Maybe they're arguing about whether it's tzar means impossible, or not impossible, but close to impossible, or unpleasant. And then this pshat, and again, whether the Sfas Emes and the Rugged Chover are right in our sugya or not, I think the Yisod definitely is right in other sukkahs. The Sfas Emes says, no. If you couldn't do anything in the sukkah, then you would lose your Kviyas Dira and you'd have to build a new sukkah. You're only part if you can eat but not sleep, because you're still a Kviyas Dira, there's just one Maisa that you're exempt from. And the Yisod of Kviyas Dira, we brought Rayas from the emphasis on furniture and the emphasis on having a sukkah even if you're not necessarily in the sukkah. And the Rugged Chover went further and said, it's not just that there's two important things, Achila and Shena, and you need to do at least one of them to become Eti Rasso. Kviyas Dira follows Davka Achila. And that's why you can't have Mitzvah Pat for Achila, because then you don't have a Sukkah at all. Shena is not Kviyas Dira, it's just the detail of what you do once you're there, and therefore you can be Pat from Mitzvah, and we brought many Rayas to his Yisod, that I guess here we should add some Rayas here. Maybe the Diuk of the Kfelus Harambam from Halacha Heid Halacha Vav, and the Rugged Chover Diuk from Sukkah Shani Osa. That's just things we mentioned at the time, but they weren't as strong rayas, but they should go up there. Okay, so that now we've had a chance to have some really serious Yisodos about the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah, and really it's a new Lumdish perspective on the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. Please. Okay, now we're ready to move on. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Right here, this is very tricky. We have two shitas of Amarayim. In the end, we have seven different shitas between all of them and all the Amarayim, as to what the shear of Achilas Arai and Achilas Keva is for Sukkah. Okay, what's the lumdus behind all those seven possibilities? I'm not sure I'm going to promise you. But we'll just try to understand pshat at least. If not lumdus, at least pshat. I have lumdus also, but I realize that, okay, for the lumdus, we need some makoros that I neglected to put on the makoros sheet because I didn't find them on my own. And then after I get the makoros sheet, I happened to look in the Torah Rishonim, who gave me some Rishonim that not everyone else footnoted to, such as, you know, the Yehusei Tanan Bamarayim. I don't know what I was thinking to, you know, learn tomorrow without going through Yehusei Tanan Bamarayim, but it's hard because the way he organizes Yehusei Tanan Bamarayim is the alphabetical order of all Tanan Bamarayim, and in each entry he discusses the sugyas they talk about, or sugyas that tangentially relate to them. So, for example, eating the sukkah is under Rabbi Chidka, who talks about meals on Shabbos. Let's go back to our Gemara first. Ochlin achilas arai chutz the sukkah. Mekam achilas arai. Amr of Yosef tired to your class. Maybe. Two or three, maybe eggs, maybe not. One thing is clear. He's trying to give a shear. He is clearly giving a shear. Two or three sounds like a shear. So, what's the shear of Arai? Obviously, you want to know what the shear of Kepha is. Just add a little, and you'll know what the shear of Kepha is. Touch this. What's the shear of Achilas Arai? So says Rav Yosef. One girsa, that's our girsa, right? Tosfos already knows there are two girsas. Rashi didn't have the word bay, just Tartu Klas. Tosfos already points out, Rashi didn't have the girsa bay, and some people have the girsa of bay. I think Rabbeinu Hananel had the sugya of, no, he didn't. Okay, Seder. There are two girsas. Rav Yosef, one girsa, is two or three kibbutzim. What about Rav Yosef, the other Gersa? What about Rav Yosef, the other Gersa, who just says two or three? Then what does it come out to be, according to all Rishonim but one? Or but half? Same thing! Two or three means two or three bites, two or three swallows, and how much can you swallow? Kabeitza! So basically, Gersa bet lefi kol harishonim is also two or three kibbutzim. It just doesn't say kibbutzim. You know how would we write it? Two or three brackets kibbutzim, right? Now, the Ritva brings the Yesh Omrim. We don't know who it is. You know? I wouldn't necessarily accuse the Bahag of this, even though he associates those who have a smaller shear of Rav Yosef with those who have a smaller shear of Abaye. And we know which Rishonim have a smaller shear of Abaye, but Lav Daf, it's totally Havaha. Just because you hold Abaye has a smaller mouth doesn't mean you have to hold that in Rav Yosef and vice versa. So we don't know who this is. Unless you know who this is, please tell me. But the Ritva quotes a Yesh Omrim. I don't remember his exact lashon. If it's Yesh Omrim or Yesh whatever, you know. One of these synonyms of Yesh Omrim, at the very least, says the Ritva right here, sorry, one second. The Efshar, as an Efshar. It's even an Efshar. It's not even a Yesh Omrim. Right? So, the Rav Yosef Girsa Bet Lefi, the Efshar of the Ritva, which the Ritva himself doesn't hold like. Right? Because the Ritva says, no, I think the first shot is right. So this is a very non-mainstream shot. He says, less than two or three eggs. He says it means two or three bites, which is less than eggs, and he doesn't define what it is. Okay, that's okay. It's not a real shita anyway. The two or three morsels less than kibbutzim. Okay, lemaisa, this is obviously a very non, we don't possibly use it anyway, this is a very non-mainstream shot. It's just according to one girsa, according to one rishon, who doesn't even hold that way. The pshat in Rav Yosef is that everyone agrees, except for the efshar of the Ritva, except for a theoretical shita, which the Ritva doesn't even hold. Everyone agrees that it is two or three eggs. Okay. What's the svara, according to the mainstream pshat in Rav Yosef? Here's a good question. Who looked up Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz? Did everyone know theoretically where you could look him up? I apologize. I should have said he's in the back of the Gemara. Okay, I'm glad you didn't look him up. I want you to figure it out on your own. Why would anyone think, based on Shas, or based on Halacha, that you know from Mishnah Brurus, that two or three eggs is a rai? You could say stan. That was his estimate, right? The Svar could always be stan, right? But why would someone specifically think, right? I think, clear, according to this, it would be Stan. I don't know, that's what he thinks. But, you could do better than Stan. Anyone know why two or three eggs would be a rye? Finish the sentence. Two or three eggs is a rye, but...
One or two.
No, not what one is kavua. Two or three eggs are... Ah! Does that ring a bell?
About how much is
the suda? How much is a suda in Erevin? Not only do we know that from Hilchos Erevin, which is good, from all halachos. What's the shear of achila kezayis be? Achilas pras. A pras is a suit of Erevin. How much is a pras? Anyone know how much a pras is?
Half a kis.
How much is a pras?
The shear of a
How much is a pras? So it's a machlokas tanam and erev and dafayim beis from Yochanan ben Broken or Rishimon, either three beitzim or four beitzim, right? Kedei achilas pras. You ever look in the Shabrura, it says, oh, it's either three beitzim or four beitzim. A pras is a sheer suit and erevin. An erevin, like after the, in erevin, we define a meal as three or four beitzim. Now, it could be coincidence, but nirlani is not, it's too good to be coincidence. If a meal is defined as three or four beitzim, then a snack is defined as two or three beitzim. And that's exactly what Rav Moshe Horowitz says. That's exactly what he says. He says, Rav Yosef is based on the Mishnah in Erevin. And I think once he point, I mean, the again, we should have thought of this ourselves before we found the Rav Moshe Horowitz. I don't normally look up every Rav Moshe Horowitz. Maybe I should. I mean, maybe the lack is that I should. But, you know, if something's a good svar, if you're waiting for someone to say it, then it catches your eye if someone said it in the back of the Gemara. So I think, pasha, that's the svara. The svara is that shir suda in a ravin daf ayin beis, and that's relevant for everyday life in kedei achilas pras, is three or four kibbutzim, and therefore, arai equals two or three kibbutzim. Now, technically, someone asked, three or four, two or three. I think you could take this in different ways, but it's technical at this point. Where Elazar Moshe Horowitz says, why do you say two or three beitzim? Why didn't it just say three beitzim is arai, and we would know two on our own, right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that if three is arai, two is arai. Says, no, what he meant was three beitzim is a rye for Yochanan ben Broka, who holds four as a suda, and two beitzim is a rye for Shimon, who holds three as a suda. So he meant different shitas, three for one Tana and two for another Tana. If you want, you could also say that, no, he was passing the Tana four, and he was just saying two or three stam. Or if you want, what he meant by two or three was two up to three, and he was being close to the sheet of three. But however it works out, Rav Moshe Horowitz actually gets to work out very nicely. Two or three, whatever your shita is. If your shita is four suda, then three is arai. If your shita is three suda, then two is arai. Okay, I think that's the objective definition of suda. Meaning, what's his svara? His svara is objective definition of suda. Right, what's his svara? And how do you know objective definition of suda? And how do you know what's an objective definition of suda? So the answer is, you look in Shas till you find it. And he looked in, he didn't have Shas, but he had Mishnah, he had Shas Mishnah. He looked in the Mishnah, he didn't have to go very far, Irvin, only a fifth of the way through, and he found that a Shir Suda was three or four, so he knew our right was two or three. I think once you see the parallel, it's hard to deny. That is Rav Yosef. Now comes Abaye. First of all, what's Abaye's objection, interestingly? Abaye's objection is, says, what do you mean? Many times that's enough for people. It's a suda's keva. Like, I understand in Erevin, they want an objective, real suda. But, you know, in real life, it's more complicated than this. Some people are more hungry, some people are less hungry, some people are bigger, some people are smaller, some people are older, some people are younger. You know, there's a lot of subjectivity here. It says, many times, two or three beitzim fills a guy up, and that's a suda's keva. So how can you be macho that outside the sukkah? You know, he sort of subjectifies it a little, right? Zim and sagia. He doesn't say always. Obviously, most of the time, you're not satisfied. That's where Irvin comes from. But often you are satisfied. So what does he say? Ella, Amar Abaye kiditom barbi rava ayelakala, like a yeshiva bacher eats before he goes to shir. What is, now keep in mind that, that they nowadays in, you know, Western countries, they talk about three meals a day, right? Three square meals a day. In the time of Chazal, as we know, they only had two meals a day. In the time of Chazal, they only had two meals a day. And even though Shabbos has Shalosh Shudas, that's still two meals a day. The Friday night meal is Friday, day, and night. And then Shabbos, you have day and night for Shalosh Shudas. And you wouldn't on your own thing to have another meal on Matzei Shabbos. That's why the Gemara says you should have a lot of Malka, even if only Kizayis, because normally you wouldn't have a third meal today. It's a Chiddush to have a lot of Malka for religious reasons, but not for Stam, nutrition. So you have two meals a day, Now, the Gemara says in that every different people eat their meals at different hours. Everyone eats their dinner at nightfall. You know, exactly when at nightfall? Look at the beginning of Brachos, right? But everyone eats their daytime meal at a different hour, some in the first and in the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth hour. The Talmid Chachamim eat in the sixth hour. Sometimes Shir goes late, or Rashi says here, just stop, they're afraid Shir will go late. So, what do you do if you're not getting up and eating your meal right away? You're eating lunch, dinner. You're not eating breakfast. You eat lunch and dinner. What are you doing? You get up. So the Gemara talks about Pashachris. And so what is the Gemara? That in their days, even though you had two meals a day, lunch and dinner, you had a little snack for breakfast also. And you know, Pashachris. And a Barbi Rav would, there was a certain shir they were all familiar with, how much the Shiva Bacher would eat before going to shir, because he would have a slightly later lunch. He wouldn't have a Ruchat Eser. He would have like a Ruchat Saharayim. So he would have a little snack on his way out to tide him through shir, but that was not a real meal. That's the shir of Harai. That's the shir of Harai. So what is the... Fine, great. And it makes sense to us. That's Harai, because it's clearly not a real meal. Meaning the whole point is that it shouldn't be a real meal. The whole point is that it's only to tide me over, but not to eat my real meal yet. And no one would eat a full meal in Bar Tarim Bai Rava Ayelakala. And therefore it was good sudas Harai. Now, the question is just, how much is this? How big is this amount that it's funny? Rav Yosef gave a number. Now, we're not sure what the number is. One gersa is a number of eggs. The other gersa, according to everyone, is a number of bites, which is the same as a number of eggs. Again, there's this epsher that's undefined, but that's not mainstream. Rav Yosef defined it clearly. Abaye was not so clear. Ketam Barbi Rava Ayelakala. He didn't define it so clearly. So we want to know what it is. Like, for some reason, he didn't define it clearly. Why didn't he define it clearly? Maybe because he wanted to show us where he's coming from, right? Meaning, he can't just make up something magical. You know, he's not a Navi. Says, oh, I know, it's like, you know, 86 cc's. No, he had to explain where he's coming from. Coming from the Barbi Rav. And why didn't he define it clearly? Oh, because, I mean, they were all Barbi Ravs. It's in the Gemara. Everyone in the Gemara is a Barbi Rav. Right, so they all knew how much you eat before you go to the Kala. So what is it? So what is a bayashita? Right? So, how many shitas are there in Rishonim about defining how much a Bar Bi Rav ate before he went to the Kala? No, that was including, A, I said that included Achronim, and B, I said that included Rav Yosef.
Three.
Four. Four shitas. What are the four shitas? What does Rashi say?
Malopiv.
Rashi says here, he eats malopiv. Okay. And what is malopiv? We're not sure from here, right? But from Rashi Nef Chazayin, we know how much malopiv is. Because the second Rashi Nef Chazayin says, it's kibetza. And how does he know kibetza? The kibetza ochal necha bavli achasi. Because you can eat a pigeta once. Means Rashi says, Abai did say the shear. He said, to the time, one bite. One bite is a kibetza. So it's not that Abai left it vague. Abai was specific. To the time is how much you could eat at once. How much you could eat at once, a kibetza. So one shita is Rashi. And the Rosh and the Ran and the Mi'iri, etc. This is how we paskin. Right? This is Rov Rishonim how we paskin. That it is a kibetza. And what's the makor? The makor is that kidditoim equals one swallow. And one swallow is a kibetza, as Rashi tells us, that ochal nechav liachas. Okay, so then Abaye was clear. Just we didn't pay enough attention. Someone tell me another sheet in the Rishonim. The Milchamos, yes, he has the most makel sheet. What's the sheet of the Milchamos?
One
or two. No, that's like
right now.
He says one or two. Right? Says the Milchamos. I always wondered why we say Milchamos. In all the books, it's Milchemes Hashem. Right? My Gemara always says Milchemes, no? But yet in all yeshivas, you say milchamos. Anyone have an insight? It could be just because b'sefer milchamos Hashem, we're used to it from the pasuk. So I wonder what he really called it. But every Gemara I've seen says Mochemes. Okay, we'll call it Mochemes. The Minhag Yeshivas, Hakadoshos. Says the Mochemes, Kibetza O Shtayim or Shnayim?
Shtayim.
Okay, good. At least that's what he said. Okay. Oh, Kishtei Beitzim. Yeah. One or two. What do you think his mocker is? I'm not asking Lumdus. What do you think his mocker is for saying that Abaye Shita is one or two? The contrast with Rav Yosef, I'm not, I don't know how strong it is, but L'chora, Rav Yosef says two or three, so he says one or two. Right. The mocker, L'chora, is contrast with Rav Yosef. Okay. Tosa Shishanim in Yoma, it's funny what he says. I'm going to put him with the Ramban, even though he's not so specific. Yes? Ah, so maybe it really is Mochamos in all the Shases. It's just spelled Chaser, like Derech HaMikra. Okay, fair enough. I'm a Kabbal Yerushat. Okay, now, back to our Sugya. The Tosa Shishanim in Yoma says, just the line at the end there, he says that kedetam devei rav ailekala dainu tuva yosir mikabetza. It's a lot more than a kabetza. So I know what a lot more than a kabetza is. It's obviously not three beitzim, because then that would be Rav Yosef, right? But it's a lot more than a kabetza. So I know what a lot more than a kabetza is, but he's at least close to the Ramban, right? Because he's not a little more than a kabetza. And he's not three beitzim, so he's approximately similar to the Ramban. You know, similar is the Tosos Yishanim, who says Tuva Yoser Mikabetza. Okay, third sheet in the Rishonim.
At the Rambam also.
What did the Rambam? Does the Rambam say Tuva Yoser a lot more?
No,
he says a little. He actually doesn't say a little less. He says less or a little more. Because any amount less is mutter. You can eat a kibetza, any amount less, or a little more. The Rambam holds it could be a kibetza or a little more. And there are many Rishonim who agree with the Rambam. I didn't put all of them on the Makoro sheet here. But I have a list someplace of the Rishonim who agree with the Rambam. The Ritz Gias, or as they say in Yeshiva, the Ritz Gias, right? The Ritz Gias. Who's one of the earlier Rishonim, is quoted in the Rivav on the side of the Rif here as saying, like the Rambam and the Michtam also, say for a Michtam, okay, might be a little obscure, Beseder, holds like the Rambam. So this is the Rambam and the Ritz Gias. We actually have a Ritz Gias in the Beis Medrash, but it's not called Ritz Gias, it's called Shari Simcha. Okay, that's the name of the book. And the Michtam. I don't know if we have a Michtam in the Beis Medrash, but it's probably in the Kovitz. They all say, right, up to ktsas yoser mikabetza. So here it's a little tricky. The Magen Mishnah says on the side of the Rambam, what's the mukkar? I didn't tell you to look at the Magen Mishnah, but if you would have looked at the Magen Mishnah, what's the mukkar? That the shear is a little more than a kibetza? What's the mukkar? The mukkar is, says the Magen Mishnah, v'chein muchach b'gemara. It's muchach in the Gemara. Okay, it's not clear to me. How is it muchach in the Gemara that she is a little more than the kibetza? Rashi, I understand muchach in the Gemara. Time is a kibetza. So basically what all the Mepharshim say, one way or another, is that he's really the same as Rashi. He just thinks that you shouldn't be so exacting. He's the same as Rashi, he's just not a yekka. So the Maaser Rekav says, after all, Tom Barbe Rav is a kibetza, but some people eat a little more, some people eat a little less, and you know, you can't be exacting with these things. So Rav Raman Har says, after all, there are bigger eggs and smaller eggs, and it's not an exact science. Even though it's a little tricky, we're not actually talking about eggs, we're talking about bread. But the point is that the makor is l'chora, the makor is like Rashi, but it's not an exact science. After all, how much people eat is not, you don't, you know, this is before Weight Watchers. You don't measure it with a scale before you eat. Okay, what's the last sheet in the Rishonim?
The Hirsha Mishnah himself is a little different. It's not exact.
Okay, correct, but before we get there, you're right, I just want to go in a different order.
Oh, okay.
Is the the hag, and the smag and the smack. The behag and the smag and the smack say that what's the shear of arai?
That's the ones that are purely subjective?
No. Says the smack, I even put the whole lush in here because it was less than a line. Less than a kibitza is arai. Kibitza is keva. It's fascinating. The difference between the Bahag, Rashi, and the Rambam is epsilon, right? Is Kichot Hasara, right? They both agree that three of these four shitas agree the shear is at least approximately kibitza. Says Rashi's shear is exactly kibitza. The Rambam says it's a little more than kibitza, and the Bahag says it's a little less than a kibitza. So they say that pachos mi kibitza, less than a kibitza is the shear, but kibitza is already keva. Okay, and what is the smack just says it just like I told you. What's the shear bar mi rav is pachos mi kibitza. The way the smag just quotes the Bahag. I mean, you're proving me. It doesn't quote anyone else. The way the Bahag says it is, after all, we know from the Mishnah on Daf Chafav and Beis that when they gave Rav Tzadok food less than a kibitza, he ate it without Matilas Shadayim in a napkin, and he didn't bench, and he ate it outside the sukkah. The diuk is less than a kibitza he ate outside the sukkah, but a kibitza he ate inside. He would have eaten inside the sukkah. And that's l'chora his makar. But a kibitza he would eat inside the sukkah. And this is also the F-sharp quoted in the Ritva. Of course, Yosef is smiling at me because I quoted the Mishnah, but I didn't quote the Gemara on that Mishnah, right? What did the Gemara say in that Mishnah? Let's look at it. The top of Chavzayin and Aleph, top line. Ukshinasnu lo l'Rabbi Tzadok ochol pochus mikabetza not lo b'mapa v'achlo chutz l'sukka v'lo birech achrav. Ha, the diak is kibetza by sukkah. Less than a kibetza he had outside the sukkah, but a kibetza he would have eaten inside the sukkah. Lema tevet yofter Rav Yosef Abaye. Isn't this against Rav Yosef and Abaye who both were matar kibetza outside the sukkah? So, the answer is, nah, dilma pachs mi kibetza natila bracha lo boy, kibetza boy natila bracha. No, the kibetza was only for the natil zedayim there because of muscle. The sukkah taki, even a kibetza would have eaten outside the sukkah. So, here it's mefurish in the Gemara that Abaye is matar a kibetza outside the sukkah. Right? It's a kasha. How? What do you mean? Is it even a kibetza? Does Rav Tzadok would have eaten a kibetza in the sukkah that's against Abaye? No. It's not a diuk. He would have eaten a kibetza outside the sukkah too. So that's, of course, the makar of all the first three sheetahs in the Rishonim, that muchach mi gemara resh dafkov zayinim and aleph de Abaye mater achilas pas kibetza chutz l'sukkah. Okay, we just don't know exactly how much he's matter. So this also works well for Rashi, right? And meduyak meod and dafkav zayin aleph. He's matter kibetza. He's not matter more than a kibetza, only kibetza. But it works fine for everyone else. It's matter kibetza. It doesn't say what he's not matter. Just say he's matter kibetza. So Rashi is matter exactly kibetza. Ram says matter kibetza or a little more. And there are amounts of matter kibetza or two. Those all fit. Of course, the Bahag is against this Gemara. The Bahag says he's not matur kibetza. Then the Gemara says, Nicha la'abaye, a kibetza would have eaten in the sukkah. Okay, I'm making this up as a kasha, because really, as the Ritva points out, the Bahag just had a different girsa there. His girsa is lingmateva tiyufta drav Yosef. It is Nicha la'abaye. The Bahag doesn't tell us his girsa. The Ritva doesn't quote that it's a Bahag, but tells us the girsa. So here, he would have the girsa of Lema Tehavi Tiyuvta Lirav Yosef Avon Nicha Abaye. Meaning for Abaye it's Nicha. Less than a kibetza he ate outside the sukkah, but a kibetza he would have gone into the sukkah. And that's why the Bahag Taka says a kibetza or tzaddik would have gone into the sukkah because we hold like Abaye. That cash was on Rav Yosef, but Abaye's not matter a kibetza. Only Rav Yosef, right? Meaning only Rav Yosef is matir kibetza chutz l'sukkah. But Abaye asers, meaning once you have the gears of lame to have to Rav Yosef, it's muchach that Abaye asers a kibetza outside the sukkah. And that's could be the makor of the Bahag if he had this girsa. Again, the Bahag doesn't tell us his girsa. The Ritva fills in the Bahag's girsa. The Ritva doesn't tell us the Bahag doesn't tell us his girsa. But if you put two and two together, you get four, and you see the Bahag's girsa, and that's probably his makor, because if you have the girsa laying the teva tuf to the Rav Yosef, that means that Rav Yosef would matur kibetza, but Abaye wouldn't matur kibetza. Then that's a makor, that Abaye isn't matur kibetza. Okay, what is the svara? So I think that for the Bahag, you could say a very objective svara. Why would less than a kibetza be a rai, but kibetza be keva? Exactly, v'chaldev zavata. So as we know, there's more than one way of interpreting v'chaldev zavata. But the Rabbi Yehuda in Brachos Daf Mem Tesa Beis says v'chaldev zavata, v'chaldev zekzayis, v'savata means a kibetza. You have to bench on a kibetza. That's why Rabbi Tzadok didn't bench less than a kibetza. Rabbi Yehuda defines v'savata as a beitza. So it could be a beitza is a sheer sviya. It could be that kibetza is a sheer sviya. So you could say kibetz is an objective shear sphere. What's the svara? What's the svara here? Maybe kibetza equals svia, like Rabbi Yehuda. Now here it gets interesting, right? We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda in benching. We hold that, I'm not sure how to express what we hold. We hold that whether or not you eat a kibetza makes no difference in terms of your obligation to bench. But it could be that we just don't dodge them sukkah benching, but we agree a kibetza is svia. So for the Bahag, you could say the svara is a kibetza is svia. But you could say for all of these people a different way of the svara. How would you say the svara? Let's look here. Stam. That is a normal meal, even though I'm not sure why. Okay. Yeah, really, I don't want the svara for this, efshar. Okay. What's the svara? What's the yisura machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and Abaye? Why does Rabbi Yosef hold a big shear and Abaye holds a small shear? Rabbi Yosef says an objective suda is only three or four beitzim. And Abaye says, I know, but even two or three beitzim sometimes fills people up. And sometimes they're koveya. In which case, what's Abaye trying to figure out? He's trying to say that this is the shear which is never a suda for anyone. Meaning, Rav Yosef says, as long as it's less than the objective suda for everyone, it's mutter. And Rav Abaye says, no, that's not true. It could be a suda for this guy. Only something that's objectively not a suda for anyone. They're like just arguing about the middle. Rav Yosef says, anything that's not always a suda, always keva is mutter. Abaye says, oh no, anything that's not ever keva, not always or always not, right? That seems to be the yisod of the machlokas. Now, I said, this is not lotus. This is just pshat, right? It could be that Rav Yosef holds, but I'll tell you why I'm saying this, even though I haven't gotten to five yet. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. I'll tell you in a second, which is never a suitor for anyone. Meaning, the yisod is, here, the heter is anything that is not always or usually keva. Well, Abaye says, no, the heter is anything which is never keva. And how do you know it's never keva? Because the Barbie Rav is medayek. As soon as Talmud Chacham is not at 0 o'clock in the morning, he's medayek to not eat a full suda. You want to know what people do when they bedavka don't want to eat a suda? Then you know you're safe. So they argue about the gray area. If they do argue about the gray area, then I know there's a five in a five, which is going to be very different. But then I can tell you something great according to the girsa of the ra'ah. Anyone wonder why I put the girsa of the ra'ah here? Just wondering if anyone had any idea, or you just thought I was crazy, why I put like a five-word girsa of the ra'ah on the makor sheet. Anyone have any idea why I did that? If you did, then I'm impressed, because it was an act of mishugas. Let's read the next line in the Gemara. Says the next line in the Gemara. Says the next line in the Gemara. Sorry, turn to the right page. Tana Rabbanan, Ochlan Achilas Araichotz the Sukkah, Ve'en Yishenim Shenas Araichotz the Sukkah. You can't sleep right outside the Sukkah. My time, Amr of Ashi Gzerashem Yeradim. That really, theoretically, you could sleep right outside the Sukkah. But it's a Gzerah. I mean, Arai, you can. It's a Gzerah that, after all, if you say I'm eating Arai, I know there are people who have problems with this. But for most of us, if you say I'm eating Arai, you'll eat Arai and stop. But if you say I'm sleeping Arai, you're taka asleep. How are you going to remember to stop? So you might. Sleep Keva. Then the Gemara has technical questions on it. If we always have Gzerah Drabbanan, you might fall into deep sleep. How are you allowed to sleep Arai and Tefillin? It might turn into Keva. No, it's only going to turn Tefillin when you tell your friend to wake you up. Who's going to wake your friend up? You'll all be asleep. It's only mutton filling when you sit with your head between your knees. Now, I don't know if they did yoga in those days or, you know, what it means is when I sit, my head's not touching my knees. So either they're very limber in those days or what they mean is, you know, not put your head between your knees. It means you put your head corresponding to between your knees. You know, I just go like this. You know, like you guys doing cheer. I'm not offended. I did the same thing this year with Gedolei Olam. That's what he means. And therefore, I mean, in most circumstances, if I'm just going like this, it's not going to turn into Keva. Okay, fine. Basically, what does Rav Ashi say? He says, Arai is mutter, as long as you're careful with it. Theoretically, Arai is mutter, but in circumstances, you have to be very careful. Rava Amar Ein Keva L'Sheina, but Rava says Ein Keva L'Sheina. Okay, all Rishonim are the same shot in Ein Keva L'Sheina. It's strange word. I mean, not strange. It's vague words. What does it mean, Ein Keva L'Sheina? There is no Keva for Sheina. I could have interpreted that in many ways if I had so desired. But all Rishonim that I've seen interpreted the exact same way. Why? Why do you think all Rishonim have the same shot? Probably because the Rishonim is very clear. There's apparently Rishonim, the same 2 days in the Rishonim. And in the Rishonim, it's very clear. One day is Gzeirah Shem Yiradin. The other day is that, sometimes a little sleep is enough. Ain't Keva L'Sheina. There's no way to tell how much sleep is going to be Keva, because for some people, after 5 minutes, they're refreshed. I wish I was one of those people. I envy those people. I know it works for horses, but I envy those people. But, okay. So therefore, he says, you know what? All Shane is usher, because you never know what amount you could be refreshed. Now, here there's a Gersa problem. In my other Shas, like my Vilna Shas, here it is, Hagos Vitsiyunim. Yes. In the Vilna Shas, it says there's a historical problem with this sugya. We're not doing Mechkar here. But there's a historical problem with this sugya. What's the historical problem with this exchange? Rav Ashi lived last. Why is he talking first? Why is everyone talking back to Rav Ashi, who lived before he was born? Okay, so in the Shas, someone wrote on the side that it must be a different Rav Ashi. Could be. Or whatever. But maybe it's not Rav Ashi. Maybe it's the wrong Gersa. The Ra'ah had the Gersa of Rav Yosef. And Minasami was the only one. Just, if you ever look at the Ra'ah in Sukkah, he copies over large sentences of the Gemara and then comments. Most of Rishonim only copy over 2 words and comment. So it could be many Rishonim have this gear, so they just don't copy over half the text of the whole Gemara. So he had the gear of Rav Yosef. And then it would make sense. Okay. Abaye and Rav are talking back to Rav Yosef, which they often did. That's a common structure of a sukkah. Abaye and Rav never corresponded. Abaye Maskla, Abaye does his kasha Rav Ashi, but he does his kasha Rav Yosef every Monday and Thursday. Great. So, according to the Ra'az Girsa, now again, if not for the historical problem, I would say, cute Girsa, the Ra'az Beseder, who knows? You know, but there's a reason for the Ra'az Girsa. There's a likelihood that the Ra'az Girsa is correct, because it solves the historical problem of Rav Ashi without saying it's a different Rav Ashi. So who knows, meaning I'm not a historian. But according to that Girsa, it works out beautifully with Shitase. If the Yisod is that whether anything that's not always Keva is Mutter, or only something that's never Keva. And what does he mean by Keva? Abai says, Sagi Leila. Never, let's say better. always or usually enough, or, because what's his lashon? Sagile, which is never enough. He says, can you turn by me, Rav? You need to eat an amount that's never enough to satisfy you. That's a right. Rav Yosef says, as long as an amount that doesn't always satisfy most people, that's good enough. Then, Rav Yosef's Lashitase, and maybe if we assume Abai and Rava agree, because Abai is the Akasha, which leads into Rava, Abai and Rava Lashitasam. If so, then it works out beautifully. Lefi Girsas Hara'ah, their Lashitasam Ba'achila Uvishena. Rav Yosef is Matir Shenas Arai, because usually, it's not enough. Usually, you need to sleep more than Shana Sarai. And Abaye Virava, Osrim, Matar Shana Sarai, Bi'ikaron, right? Fundamentally, if not for the Xera. Osrim Shana Sarai, Bi'ikaron, fundamentally, because, as the Lashon Yerushalmi, you have the Lashon Yerushalmi? Morning, you have the Lashon Yerushalmi there? It's a short one, right?
Yeah.
Read me the Lashon of Yerushalmi. Fine, I'll read you the Lashon of Rashi. Says Rashi. That's Shemi Yeradim, and? Sometimes it's enough to sleep a little. Or as Rashi says very nicely, Rashi says, Pa'amim she'enu al-manam na v'day v'kach. Sometimes it's enough to sleep a little. What is Pa'amim? Pa'amim is Zimnin Sagiyim. It's just the Lashon of Abaye above. Because sometimes it's enough. So then it's the same exact machlokas in Shena and in Achila, whether we find the borderline of Keva Arai, that anything which is usually enough is Usser. What's borderline is Mutter, or no, anything which is borderline and ever enough is Usser. The only thing that's Mutter is something that's never satisfying. So in Achila, a kibbutz is never satisfying. We know the Bar Mirav didn't want to be satisfied. And in Shena, there's no Heter, because you never know what's satisfying. Then it happens to work out very, very beautifully. Okay, that is if you take the Rishonim's way of Abaye. And the Yesod is the blue Yesod, right? However, the Sfas Emes, I don't mean to say he argues on all the Rishonim, he has a pshat based on a few Rishonim. The Sfas Emes has a different way of understanding Abaye. He says, starts at saying, Rav Yosef says objective to Rasuda. Abaye says, what do you mean? It depends, right? So you could say, basically, Rav Yosef says objective to Rasuda. Abaye says, no, it depends. It's subjective. It's flexible. So where do you go from there? All the Rishonim say, so we go to only something that's mamish on the safe side. Where else could you have gone? Where else could you have gone? You say rich is $1 billion. I say, no, for some people rich is this, for some people that. So how do I define rich? So I could say, you know what? Rich is $1,000. Because even in Cambodia, that's rich. And under $1,000 is poor everywhere. Or I could just say, I define rich depending on relative to your circumstances, right? I could say there is no one definition of rich. You can't measure it in dollars. Maybe you can't measure it on a scale. Or here in a water displacement, right? Maybe Abai's objection is Zimnis again. That Abai's Shita is not. Again, there's flexibility. There's relativism. So one answer is be on the safe side. That's how all the Rishonim understood it. The other option is, you know, with maybe the Bahag saying it's mamish physical and everyone else just saying it's on the safe side of what people do. The other option is it's flexible. You think it's objective. I think it's flexible. Then it would not be Lashitasam in the next Sogya. Okay, not everyone has that Girsa. Because no one says flexibility by Shina. And that's what the Sfas Emes says the Sfas Emes, and with this we will end, says the Sfas Emes, he says, and by the way, what's a great diuk to say that Abai is really saying it should be relative and flexible and subjective for the fact that, what did Abai not do? He didn't give a measurement. Rav Yosef says two or three. And Abai says, oh, like the Bar Bi Rav. Why didn't Rav Yosef say an amount? Why couldn't he be clear? So until now, I said, he was being clear, because if you lived in his time and place, you would understand what he meant. Or maybe, no, he was Davka not being clear, saying, Kedetom Barbi Rav. Like people do, you have to look at what people do, and it's relative. That is what the Sfas Emes says. The Sfas Emes says it depends on circumstances. And you want to know what his mucker is? I think his mucker is clear. His mucker is... because Abaye didn't give a shear. Why couldn't he give a shear? Wait, I don't understand. Abai didn't know the word kibetza? Whatever the Rishonim wrote, Abai could have said just the same. As a matter of fact, it would have been shorter. Elamer, Abai kibetza. Or he could have said, Tom Barber, Rav kibetza, or whatever it is. Why didn't he give a shear? Because it's flexible. And Chaim will tell us, what's the main mucker in Rishonim that the Sfas Emes relies on?
That's the Perish of Mishnah.
The Perish of Mishnah, the Rambam. What does the Rambam say in the Perish of Mishnah here? The Rambam in the Perish of Mishnah here says, where do they keep Perish of Mishnah? In the Ozma Hadar? After Maharsha, you think.
Because it depends on what you did.
All right. Anyway, okay, let's assume that if we could find the Rama in the Perish of Mishnayis, we would notice that he said, maybe before the right before the riff. Yeah, you see? This is, I just don't understand this. Like, you know, even if they have a logical svara, why to put the Rama in a different place? You know, for hundreds of years, we're used to where to find the Rambam. And I don't know why they have to move it. Okay. All right. Maybe that's why I'm in Reitz and not a different rabbinical school. Fine. But the says the Rambam in Perish of Mishnayis, he says, Achilas Arayish, Yochol Adam Shir Mu'at Lo Yachshav Alav L'Suda. You need a small amount that you don't not consider for him to be a Suda. Just to stave off your hunger till you get to your meal afterwards. Okay, he does it. The Rambam Perish Mishnayis doesn't give an amount. Now here it's a little tricky because there is a Mishnah Torah, but he says, we see from here it's just for you whatever is your snack and not your meal. And he says the Rambam Perish Mishnayis actually works nicely. And then he says, even in the Ramban. Maybe that's what the Ramban means. Why does the Ramban say one or two? Why doesn't he just say two? He means for some people one, for some people two. It's subjective. And you could even say that's what the Ramban meant in Hilchos Sukkah. Why do you say kibetza or a little less or a little more? Or less or a little more? Why not just say a little more? You could have just said some. That's a nice way of saying it. He said, no, for some people less, for some people kibetza, for some people more. So in the Ramban in the Mishnah Torah, it's a pshat. In the Perish of Mishnayis, it reads nicely. But says the Sfas Emes, what's he based on? It's not that he's rejecting Rishonim. Alpi Rambam Perish HaMishnah Vidiyuk Be Ramban Uve Rambam Hilchos Sukkah. Right? Basically, why does the Ramban say one or two? Must be for you one and for me two. Lavdavka. I know it's not such a thing. And then what everybody else say. Okay. Anyway, says the Sfas Emes, but it's a nice shot. And then he has another diuk. His diuk is later on. The Chacham say you don't eat 14 meals. So what do you do? Rashi says you could fast or eat peiros. The Sfas Emes says, why didn't Rashi just say, according to the Chachamim, you could eat less than a kibetza? And the answer is, because if all you eat that day is less than a kibetza, it becomes your meal, and now it's keva, because it depends on your schedule that day. And therefore, the only way to avoid eating in the sukkah is to fast or have peiros. So that's what the Sfas Emes says. It depends on the circumstances. That's what he meant. Can the Tom Bar Be Rav? Whatever's your Tom Bar Be Rav as opposed to your Suda. And then the Svara would be clear that the Shear is subjective. And according to the Sfas Emes, what's the basic Yisoda of Malkus? That the Rav Yosef would hold, according to this, that the Shear, that there's an objective Shear. And Abaye would argue and say there is a subjective shear. So there are two ways to see. I'm just giving the flow of the Gemara. Yosef gives a shear from Irvin. Abaye says, that's not so pashut. It depends on the circumstances. Where does Abaye go with that? Fasem says, he goes with that, say it depends on the circumstances. You're objective, I'm subjective. And all the Rishonim say, no, he also gives an objective shear. Just one objective shear is what's clearly keva. And Abaye says, only what's clearly arai. What about everything that's in between and depends on which person you are and what circumstances? For Abaye, the Rav Yosef, that's all mutter. And for Abaye, that's all usser. Okay, this is, I don't think I've said any lumdus, because I didn't want to say lumdus now because you haven't seen the Yichus of Yom Kippur in advance, even though I gave it out, and if I would have had time. But this is the basic lay of the land of the Shitas when it comes to the definition of Arai and the definition of Keva. The The, yeah. Maybe we'll pick up with the next day of yeshiva is Monday after Simchas Torah, right? So, why don't, since I didn't really finish this Makoros sheet now, and I have a few things that I want to say, why don't we pick up Monday in the regular shiur slot, and I will not give a lot of new Makoros, but just, I gave the sheet, the Chusei Tanam Maron, the Ma'arach or Zeruah. Look at the Chusei Tanam Maron, look at Ma'arach or Zeruah, maybe I'll give you a few other things if you want to look at. But we'll pick up Beis Hashem Monday at 11:30, and that way it'll give me my sheer chance to catch up with the Seder, which I always desperately need. So Hashem may give me a good days of the week this year. And I'll wish everyone a Gemara Chasima Tovah, a good Yom Tov, and see you in Shir next month.